This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. And remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 429. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Alibaba and their groundbreaking conference for small business owners who want to get access to China's 500 million consumers. It's called Gateway 17 on June 21st to 22nd in Detroit. Plus, it's sponsored by Bloom That, getting flowers exactly what you ordered delivered nationwide for Mother's Day. Well, with Donald Trump now being president, a lot of people are questioning the relevance of morality in business these days. My next guest examines this question. Eden Collinsworth is the author of a new book called Behaving Badly, The New Morality in Politics, Sex, and Business. Eden, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I have to tell you, this book could not have come out at a better time because I think a lot of people are questioning, do the ends really justify the means? Is there really a relevance of morality today in business?
Well, I believe there is. It hasn't felt that way, but in fact, I think if you look for some silver lining, which I think is crucial, otherwise you frankly would just crawl
that's
under
right.
a rock.
Exactly. Or drink a lot of alcohol.
I think that's probably right. I was speaking to an American friend the other day, and she told me she was afraid of becoming an alcoholic. So,
absolutely.
So I think that's certainly one option. My sense is that even though it feels as though we're on a downward slide in terms of morality and civility and ethics, all of which are interconnected, I take solace in the fact that we still draw lines around what we believe to be acceptable and what we know to be unacceptable. And I think that what is encouraging is that we take those lines less for granted these days, and we're willing to defend those lines. And so I think that's very encouraging. We've become better informed as citizens, we do have a check and balance system. I'm hoping that it remains operational. I'm very much aware of the fact that I've lived in countries that don't have that check and balance system. I've lived in China where there's simply a one-party system, and so I think that there are hopeful signs. It often doesn't feel that way. It feels as though it can't possibly get worse, and then you get up in the morning and you realize that it's worse in a different way.
Right. Well, it is. You know, I've run businesses for many, many years, and I have to say, and I've talked a lot about it in my first book, that it is a gray line. You know, I'm not the most moral or honest person that's out there. I have crossed the line back and forth. So this idea of morality is very hazily defined in business. So I guess, how does a small business owner, Eden, really define it for themselves?
Well, I think it's important, just generally speaking, to make clear that there's a difference between morality and ethics. So morality is a set of personal beliefs, and ethics is expressed by way of the expectations that are defined and the kind of sanctions enforced by a given culture or society. So, for example, in business, I believe it was in one of the southern states, there was recently a small business owner who felt very strongly about denying Planned Parenthood or anything that had to do with contraception into the healthcare insurance that he offered. And so he was certainly within his rights to feel the way he felt in terms of his moral, his personal set of beliefs, his morality. But ethically speaking, he was operating outside of the law at the time. I mean, I think things are in such a state of flux right now. So there's an example of how it sometimes comes into conflict. But, you know, I think we all operate in a gray area, especially, you know, if one is an entrepreneur. You certainly see the gray area in large businesses and banks. You know, it's very sobering to be reminded that there have been billions, hundreds of billions of dollars paid out in for malfeasance, and not many bankers or traders or business people have gone to jail.
Right,
and
right.
I think that there's, you know, there's great inequity in that.
And this is really what worries me, Eden, is because, and I've done, I know, worries me because I've done this, you know, 20 years ago in a past life. It seems like as long as we make money and we define success by making money, then any means of making that money really is justifiable.
Well, the flip side to that is to rather logically come to the conclusion that Western capitalism is immoral. I myself have started a business at one point. I knew nothing at all about raising money or magazine publishing, and in an act of either great courage or deep stupidity, I decided to launch a magazine in Los Angeles, and I raised the money to do it. You know, the point is that had I gone to business school, I probably wouldn't have taken that risk.
Right.
And the supreme irony is that when I started to work for the Hearst Corporation, after running a company and starting a company, they suggested that I go off to a business school, you know, management course. And my point in this story is that I was reminded emphatically that the first obligation is to return a profit, you know, and is towards the shareholders. So it's not has not to do with the product. It doesn't have to do with the workers. It has to do with returning a return, you know, providing a return on investment. So in that way, it sounds absolutely bereft of any moral direction, frankly.
It's interesting because I kind of got through some of those more, I would say, morally challenging time when I realized that money was not the only goal, that I couldn't justify everything that I was doing because I was going to make money for myself or my shareholders, that I had to decide what kind of life did I really want to lead. And that's where I try to teach other entrepreneurs that you really have to balance these two things, you know, the morale and the ethics of it and the financial result. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. But I think at times it's very difficult. And I think that's, frankly, where character comes in. And, you know, I remember being feeling as though I had painted myself in a corner when I had launched this magazine. There were people who were dependent upon their salaries. And my first instinct was to not pay the gas company and pay the writers and pay the staff. And so, you know, you do make personal judgments along the way. I think that I would like to think that in our best efforts, we all try to be fairly straightforward and honest. But I've got to tell you that if you look at the research, the fact is that we are more likely to be altruistic and empathetic and generous in spirit if money isn't involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm afraid that we have a tendency of behaving very badly around money. And that's not just an American trait. That is, you see it across the board. So if you look at, you know, the scandal in terms of the automobile emissions, you know, issues, there were the Germans, there were the Japanese, there were the Americans. And if you look at the scandal in terms of the Panama Papers, you know, it was just a rogues gallery of global participants. So I'm afraid that people behave, you know, our people behave like people around money, which is not always exemplary.
And I've seen this time and time again as I act as a broker for selling businesses where there's a lot of money at stake. People turn into somebody else. So I guess what is the antidote in your book? I mean, it starts out with the premise of behaving badly, the morality of politics, sex, and business. What advice do you have for us? What kind of to live, I guess, a better life?
Well, I think that it's an individual choice, but I would agree with your premise that it can't be focused on one thing exclusively. And I think that certainly as I've gotten older, I've had an extraordinarily eclectic career. I haven't really been holding to one path. I've been involved in primarily in media, but I was a book publisher. I launched a magazine, and then I became a corporate executive. I then became the chief of staff of a global think tank. And my point is that as I've moved my way through with all of these various activities and phases of my life, what becomes more important to me is how I live my life.
Right.
And I think that's obviously we all have to pay the bills, but I think that that's really crucial because, frankly, I don't know what else there is if you don't have that.
Eden, I got to interrupt you there. We're out of time. Thanks so much for being on the show. The title of the book is Behaving Badly, New Morality in Politics, Sex, and Business. A very, very timely book. Thanks so much for calling in and being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's AM 560. We'll be right back.